Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his...
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. And this show is for Monday, the 11th of September, 2017. We are going to cover the final chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And in this, Solomon is coming down to the end of his days. He realizes that he's really fouled up with all the wives and the women and the foreign women and everything. He wrote this for younger folks, trying to admonish them not to do as he had done. He somewhat wasted his life. He had a problem with sex. He was addicted to it, evidently. And he just, the flesh ruled him for a lot of his life. And when he succumbed to the desires of the flesh, his pagan wives from other countries, which were against Yahweh's law in the first place, perverted his fate. And he went into apostasy in a big way. Built temples and altars and all kinds of stuff to all these racially alien gods. And he's trying to tell here, he's regretting his life. He's trying to tell the young folks not to go the way that he has gone with his fleshly desires. This whole book is a relation to his life. Declaring that he, eat, drink, and be merry, and all of that stuff. It's depressive. In some senses, he's really regretting now what he had done. And Yahweh would rip the kingdom from him. Pardon me. During the reign of his son, the kingdom would split. That's when the big split came. And Israel was divided from Yehuda and Benjamin. And it was due to Solomon's behavior. Well, let's get into chapter 12 here. Verse 1, remember now your Creator, 1254, in the days of your youth. Okay, while you're young, worship Yahweh. While the evil days come not, nor the years approach. In other words, when you're getting old. When you shall say, I have no pleasure in them, when life is not all that good anymore. That's what he's talking about here, when things get bad. Well, we're looking at that now. a lot of us that are older have seen and been witness to the United States of America going so deep into apostasy and so perverse. The laws have been changed and all of that, and so have all the Israelite countries. Wherever we're scattered, there has been a definitive assault on the faith and the lifestyle and the morality of our people. The world has gone insane with perversion. It's all over in the movies and the TV and the magazines and Hollywood and all the fashions. The music industry promotes it. It's a real filthy mess. Verse 2. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, when there's still light in the world, while you're young and things are good. In Scripture, it prophesies that the sun and the moon would be darkened, does it not? Well, we just had an eclipse. I have to take a pause every once in a while to cough. I have to mute the mic. My bronchitis is bothering me. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men are bent. In other words, they've locked their strength and they're bent over. And the keepers of the house will tremble from old age. And the grinders cease because they are few. That's grinders of grain. And those that look out of the windows are darkened. People aren't even look out of the windows at the traffic in the streets. Verse 4, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the mill, 2913, that's the grist mill, is low. And it shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of song shall be brought low. No more singing. The maidens won't be singing like they do, tra-la-la-la-la, walking along the street. They don't do that here in modern days, but they did back then. Okay. Verse 5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall wear blossoms, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. That's in context. Okay. And the caperberry, don't know what that is, burst forth. That's an idiom, because Adam goes to his eternal home. And the mourners go around the streets. That's when you die. They have a mourning procession. verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be removed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the jar be broken at the spring, or the wheel broken at the cistern. That's what they used to draw water with. Then shall the dust, 6083, return to the ground as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Elohim who gave it. The dust speaking of the physical body. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But the soul does not go into the ground with the dead corpse. Vanity of vanities, says the Koheleth, the collector of sentences, all is vanity. There he goes again. Nothing in life is permanent, it's all worthless. What he's done in the first part of this chapter is tell them to get right with God, because someday you're going to die. And all the stuff that you accumulate during your life is going to be worthless. Only your soul is going to go on. And here comes the conclusion, which is the part that ends, verse 9 of chapter 12. And besides that, because the Koheleth, that's the collector, or preacher if you must, was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now, if you will remember, chapter 11 was very proverb-like. Verse 10, the collector, or Koheleth, used as a proper name, sought to find out desirable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. He was still seeking out truth because he was looking at his life and he knew it was coming to an end. And he didn't know where he stood in the eyes of Yahweh, because he had really strayed. Verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads, that's what you use to prod an animal along, and as nails planted by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Why would they plant nails? That's 49:30. Let's take a look in Esord and see what we have here. Nails, 49:30. That is Masmera. Okay. That's feminine. A peg or a nail. Now, what does that have to do? You put a peg or a nail to hold clothing or items in the wall of the house. If it was a good peg, it would stand up. If it was inferior, it would break and your items would fall to the ground. So there's the little background about the nails being planted. It's 5193 as planted. They have fastened here in the King James, and properly it means to strike in other words, to drive a nail or a peg in a wall firmly. And these nails were planted by the masters of the assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Who's the shepherd of the flock? Yeshua Messiah. This is prophetic. And also by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. In other words, writing and writing and writing all your thoughts, there's no end to it. And much study is a weariness of the body, the flesh. It wears you out. I will attest to that because I study constantly and I get tired. I mean, really tired, and I have to go in and I have to take a nap at my age. Well, I just got up from a nap a little bit ago, and it's right now it's 11:49 p.m. and I'm doing a show because I'm wide awake now. I had a good solid nap, which I needed, and now is the time when everything is quiet in my building that I would record. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion, which this section is titled The Conclusion. That's 5490. See what it says about that. There's a termination, conclusion, end, hinder part. Of the whole matter. This is what the whole thing, your whole life comes to. That's what he's saying here. Fear or hold in awe, that's 3372. Morally to revere, okay, fear or morally revere Elohim. And keep his commandments. 4, 6, 8, 7. Commandments. That's mitzvah. Command. Collectively, the law, the Torah. For this is the whole duty of Adam. So he's telling these young people, this is what your life is all about. This is the only thing in your life that is truly important. All the other stuff is vanity, as he keeps saying, vanity of vanities. Only your relationship with Yahweh has any importance. How you deal with him, how you serve him, how you obey him. Here's verse 14, which caps it off. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment. That's all the stuff that you do in your life. Now here I am, an old man, and I see my life that I had before I really turned everything over to Yahweh as vanity of vanities. Just like Solomon says here. Worthless. Did nothing. Now I've got a duty. Keep his commandments. That's the duty that I have now. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing. He knows everything that you do, even in secret. You can't hide a thing from him. Can't cover it up. You'll be stumbling and bumbling. And when I stand in front of the judgment seat, I'll be crying because most of my life is useless. The only good thing in my life is my relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua Messiah and my belief and faith and full repentance of the things that I did when I was young. And that's what he's telling these young people now. With every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. And that ends the book of Ecclesiastes. He has recounted his life in this book. That's what this is. This is a remembrance of his life, which he now declares worthless. Just terrible. He frittered his life away when he gave into the flesh after he had all that wisdom and did all of those things. He just wasted his life. So that is good advice from Solomon to us, that all our works will be considered nothing. We waste our time, basically. I hate to say that, but we do. Me too. I did it. Well, now we're going to... I don't like to double over on a show into a second book, but I have so much time. And we need to get into the book of Esther. For background information, this book is about the attempted destruction of the people of Yehuda who were in captivity and they were attacked and attempted to be destroyed by a descendant of an Amalekite king named Agag. Now, if you will turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 8. Chapter 15, verse 8 of 1 Samuel. This will give you a background of what went on. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. This is what Shaul did, in direct opposite of what Yahweh had commanded. He said, kill them all. He took King Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Verse 9, but Shaul and the people spared Agag against Yahweh's command, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings, that's stall-fed animals, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would, but everything that was, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, they destroyed utterly. Okay. Then, verse 10, then came the word of Yahweh to Samuel, saying, it repents me, in other words, makes me sad and sorry, that I have set up Shaul to be king, for he is turned back, in other words, turned aside from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yahweh all night. Okay. Verse 12. And when Samuel rose early to meet Shaul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Shaul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. Verse 13. And Samuel came to Shaul, that's Saul, and Shaul said to him, blessed be you of Yahweh. I have performed the commandment of Yahweh. Well, no, he didn't. He hadn't done that. Verse 14, and Samuel said, what then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Verse 15, and Shaul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Yahweh, your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Verse 16, then Samuel said unto Shaul, stay, and I will tell thee what Yahweh has said to me this night. And he said to him, say on. Verse 17. And Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and Yahweh anointed you king over Israel? In other words, when you were nothing, Yahweh chose you. Weren't you anointed by him? Verse 18. And Yahweh sent you on a journey, and he said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Verse 19. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh, but did fly upon the spoil? In other words, they plundered everything instead of destroying it. And did evil in the sight of Yahweh. Verse 20. And Shaul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He didn't tell him to do that. Verse 21, now he tries to put it off on the people. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh, your God, in Gilgal. In other words, we meant well. We just brought all this stuff back to sacrifice it against the command of Yahweh. Verse 22, and Samuel said, has Yahweh a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? In other words, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear or listen to than the fat of rams. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from being king. Boy, he really hit him hard. verse 24. Let me get a drink of water here. And Shaul said unto Shamuel, I have sinned. And that's 2398. That type of sin is to miss the mark of duty or righteousness, which he did. That's how that is described. For I have transgressed the commandment, in other words, stepped past, gone past over, the commandment of Yahweh and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Verse 25, now therefore I pray you, pardon my sin, in other words, lift up my sin from upon me, and turn again with me that I may worship Yahweh. And Shamuel said unto Shaul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected you from being king over Israel. Verse 27. And as Shamuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it tore. Verse 28. And Shamuel said unto him, Yahweh has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thee. Verse 29, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. Now, strength of Israel, that's capital S, strength, that's a title of Yahweh. The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not an atom that he should repent. In other words, change his mind. Verse 30, then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray you, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship Yahweh your God. So he relented. Verse 31, so Samuel turned again after Shaul, and Shaul worshiped Yahweh. Not going to do him any good. Verse 32. Then said Shamuel, bring you here to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. Now, what's delicately? Dainty, cheerfully. He thought he was going to get a pass because he was a captive. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. No, it's all done. I'm captured. The bitterness of, you don't remember all that bitterness and all the things I did. Yeah, right. Verse 33, and Shamuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Shamuel hewed Agag in pieces before Yahweh in Gilgal. Okay, that's who Agag is. The main villain in Esther is a man named Haman. And he is an Agagi. He is the descendant of that king. And has a bitter hatred toward Israel and those of the tribe of Yehuda. Okay. Uh, King Ahasuerus was also known as Xerxes. And Yahweh would influence Ahasuerus against Haman as the story goes on. So I have identified for you the enemy in this book. This is all about what went on with this Agagite, this descendant of the Amalekite, King Agag, and how he tried to get it, the people of Israel that were in captivity, and he was foiled by this woman and Mordecai, her uncle. So let's get into this. I'll start and probably just do chapter 1 of Esther. I don't like to put two books into one show, but I'm not going to waste all this time. I'll just move on and make a note of it in my archives. Chapter 1, verse 1, and you can reference Ezra, chapter 4, verse 6. And this Ahasuerus reigned from 485 to 465 B.C. Okay. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from Hodu, that's India, that's their name for Hindu, even unto Kush, over 127 provinces, okay? Verse 2, that in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom that was in Shushan the fortress. Verse 3, in the third year of his reign he made a feast unto all his officials and servants. The power of Paras and Madai, that's Persia and Media, the nobles and governors of the provinces being before him. These were all his ruling officers. He stayed on his throne, but he delegated authority to all these men. That's how they did it. Verse 4, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his splendid majesty many days, even 104 days. That'd be 180 days. That's 6 months. Verse 5, and when these days were fulfilled, now I'm reading from the King James with the words corrected, where I have all my notes. The king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the fortress, both under the great and small, in other words, the important people and the little people, 7 days in the courtyard of the garden of the king's palace. He had a party at his house. Where there were white linen and violet hangings held with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The couches were of gold and silver, upon a pavement of red and violet and white and black marble. Verse 7, and they pardon me, and they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another. They were all different types of cups. And royal wine in abundance according to the hand of the king. That's the power and munificence for hand there. Verse 8. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. In other words, the servants would constantly make sure that the cups were full. Verse 9. Let me scroll down here to verse 9. Okay, that's... also, Vashti, the queen. It would be Vashti. The queen. This is the king of Xerxes, or queen of Xerxes, rather. That's the word is of Persian origin. Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Verse 10. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, in other words, he was drinking, he commanded Mehuman, Bezeta, Carbona, Bigta, Abachta, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs, these were neutered males, that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king. And they used eunuchs in those days as high servants because they wouldn't be tempted to fool around with the women. They had no interest in women because they were cut. Verse 11, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the officials her beauty, for she was pleasing in appearance. And evidently she knew it and was a little bit arrogant to her detriment. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his eunuchs. Therefore was the king very angry, and his anger burned in him. Verse 13, then the king said to the wise men which knew the times, in other words, those were astrologers, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and government. Let me turn the page here. And the next unto him was Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven officials of Persia. And Madai, that's Media, that's Paras and Madai, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. These were the head leaders of all these provinces for him. And they had power. They were powerful people. Verse 15. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she has not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the eunuchs? In other words, they went and told her, the king wants you there. Come on. No, I'm not going to go. Okay. And Memucan answered before the king and the officials, Vashti, the queen, has not done wrong to the king only, but to all the officials and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. In other words, she's insulted everybody, not just the king. Verse 17, for this deed of the queen shall go forth unto all women, so they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. In other words, she's going to influence the rest of the women that you can just do what you want and defy your husband. So they're really upset about this. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. Verse 18, likewise shall the ladies of, I'm just going to say Persia and Media, say this day unto all the king's officials which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise sufficient contempt and wrath. In other words, they were going to mimic the queen and defy their husbands. That wasn't going over well. If it is pleasing to the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered. In other words, once he wrote a law, that was it. That Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her reign as the queen under another that is better than she. She's going to lose her status. She just shot herself in the foot with her arrogance. She was pretty, but she wasn't that doggone pretty. And she's going to find that out. She's losing the whole ball of wax right here. She's just ruined herself. Verse 20. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his realm, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. In other words, it'll stop the disobedience of the women. Well, look at today. Look at the disobedience and contempt that the women have for the men today. see how it parallels? If you let them get away with it, give them an inch, they'll take a mile. They run the house. Wimpy men. What can I say? Wimpy, wimpy. Verse 21. And the saying was pleasing in the eyes of the king and the officials, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. Verse 22. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing of it, and to every people after their language. He ruled over a multi-culti kingdom. All kinds of people. That every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Now we'll stop right here. That ends chapter 1. Of Esther. This is setting up a search for another queen. Because Vashti just destroyed herself. That's just how it is. She really messed up. Now in chapter 2, which we will get to on Wednesday, it's going to give the process in which Esther, whose Hebrew name was Hadassah, that's Esther, she was really pretty. She was a young maiden of the tribe of Yehuda. Not the Jews. They've tried to make it Jews. No. Not Jews. Israelites of the tribe of Yehuda. They've tried to steal this book. And there is a lot about this book. They say, oh, the name of Yahweh is not in it. It's just historical. It could be made up. She doesn't call on the name of Yahweh. Yes, she does. The King James Version, now hear this, the King James Version in the English has cut out the name of Yahweh. Are you surprised? All right. Verse 8 of chapter 4 has missing text. But in the Septuagint, it is still there. So when I get to chapter 4, verse 8, I will read you the missing text from the Septuagint in which she calls out on the name of Yahweh. So that's another method that the Jew has tried to steal another book. They took the name of Yahweh completely out of this. And they've changed Judean or Judahite to Jew. It's not in the original text. It's Judean or Judahite. So this book has a lot of tampering to it, which is an attempt by the Antichrist Jew to steal another book and thus pose as true Israel. Well, I'm not going to let them get away with it. I will read to you from the Septuagint, which has the rest of the text that they cut out. And I'm going to blow their little game right out of the water. That's coming up. I did the last of Ecclesiastes and the first chapter of Esther in this show. We will be going through the rest of Esther this week because I can do a full show on the chapters. I may get through with it this week. I may have to go into next Monday. But it's going to be a good read because I'm really going to explain all the machinations that are going on behind the scenes, and I will be exposing the molestation of the text by the Antichrist Zionists. They have changed so many things around. And they've tried to steal the words. They've tried to make it Yehudi. Well, it's not Yehudi. It's Yahudi. That means a man that praises Yah, a man of Judah, And it's Yahuda. Yah is praised. Okay? But they want the name Yahweh and all the little portions of it, Yah, taken out of the scripture. They don't want to refer to Yahweh because their God is not Yahweh. They do not worship Yahweh. They do not use the Torah. They use the Talmud. So it's deception all the way around. And we are seeing the panic that is going through their ranks now as their financial empire is being exposed. Their influence is being exposed. People are becoming Jew savvy. People are realizing they're not the chosen people of the Bible. Israel is the chosen people of the Bible. And they are finding out who Israel is. That Israel is the Adamic or white race. So we're making headway. We are getting people waking up. We see that in the emails and the posts. They have been defeated in taking down a lot of websites. They're shutting down funding because they control money. Well, we're finding ways around that. Don't give up hope. Don't give up your faith. Occupy until the end, as Yeshua Messiah said. And keep your temple clean, keep the feasts. Well, I'm getting close. I'm coming up the head of the hour here. And I will wish you all Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you, and may Yahweh bless you. Don't forget the Pastor's Roundtable Show on Friday nights at 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. It's a live call-in show. We've got the new server up and online. Everything's going well. And we'll get all the rest of the stuff fixed as time goes along. EFR is changing. It's going to be much more exciting. We're going to expand and organize at the same time. Yahweh is blessing us and blessing you at the same time. So I've got about 3 minutes out and or 2 minutes. So I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will talk to you on Wednesday, the 13th of September. Bye for now.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. For